Episode 1. They were almost here. Marcus could smell them. A potent aroma lingered throughout the halls, one that carried bits of greed, bloodlust, and arrogance in the fragrance. Okay, maybe Marcus was just being dramatic. After all, the alarms had been sounded, and in truth, thanks to Avery's concerted efforts, the air smelled like lavender. Be that as it may, Marcus still felt their presence nearby. The very worst kinds of people. Murder hobos. Marcus stood in the center of the room with his massive fists placed in front of him in a ready stance. He wore a comfortable pair of slacks, and his chest was bare. A pair of chain-linked bracers covered his forearms. Marcus's shaggy brown fur went everywhere, just as it did every day of his life. The room was large enough that his horns had plenty of headroom between their tips and the ceiling. His design of his chamber had been simplistic. Thick mats across the floor, various kinds of wooden training weapons pinned to the walls, and a small little room to the side where he could rest between raids. The room itself had a large bed, a coffee table, and a couple of comfy chairs in case Marcus had company. Well, pleasant company, anyway. His nerves tightened like a fist as soon as he heard the heavy metal footsteps. Marcus licked his dry lips. A small voice whispered into his ear.
Well, I hope you don't mind seeing a little action today.
It was a feminine sort of voice, although in Avery's case, gender didn't matter. Marcus couldn't see them, but he knew they were floating about somewhere. Avery was a funny sort of prankster. The first murder hobo moved into the room, clad in gray steel-colored armor, from head to toe. The little creature's full frontal helmet only had little slits for eyes, and a painted twisted smile on the helmet. The smile looked like a child had painted it, and then forgot what teeth were supposed to look like. Dumbass. Obviously, intelligence was this person's dump stat. It carried a two-handed sword that had blood covering his blade, and the hilt of the sword was extremely gaudy, with the polished image of a skull at the end of the hilt. Thick metal spikes jutted from his shoulders, chest, and even forearms, like this person was a frontman for some kind of wannabe edgy metal band. Three more people filtered into the room after the first one planted itself near the entrance like a shrub. One of the people was a female elf dressed in black, like she were still clinging to the I'm a goth and it makes me cool kind of phase. She wore black lipstick, had black eyeshadow and overly exaggerated eyeliner with curvy lines coming from out underneath her eyelids. Her fingernails were black, and her armor was also painted black too. Was her soul black? Fucking poser. She looked like the kind of person that would talk about serving a dark lord or something out in public, but then when she got home she would read trashy gossip news and drink her skinny frappe lattes. She also carried a narrow black sword that was overly curvy and detailed. You know how those elves are. Psh, sheesh. Anyway, if she thought she was goth, then she would have shit her pants if she would have walked into Nina's room instead of his. Nina would make this chick's soul cry black tears of despair. The third murder hobo was an incredibly short blob of fat with a pudgy face, two wiggling arms, and maybe a pair of legs under his overstuffed stomach. It was a he, based on the fact that this little person had a thick, unkempt, I still live in my mom's basement and collect trading cards kind of goatee. He had a sparkling purple cloak draped over his mashed potato shoulders. He carried a kind of jewel-encrusted rod in his hands, and he had a weird-looking circlet around his forehead. Okay, so this one was a caster of some kind. He needed to get squished first. The last murder hobo had an extremely striking feature. He had a massive block chin that jutted out larger and longer than what was normal. Then again, maybe Marcus was being a little unfair. This might have been a racial trait or something. The man had narrow eyes that were way too close together, an underbite that was almost orcish, and little pimples that covered his cheeks, like everywhere. There was more pimple than there was cheek, The person carried a shield that had the same crest as his cloth shirt. No, seriously. Rather than wear chest armor, this person just wore a cloth shirt. The man wore a kilt too, but it was an armored kilt made from chain links or some such thing. Although it provided armor, surely this weirdo didn't think it would protect his chest, right? The man had long, ratty hair tied into a man bun. He also had a boring-looking morning star. Clearly, someone spent too much money on that stupid kilt. The first murder hobo pointed toward him, and a youthful, high-pitched squeal came out.
Look! A minotaur! And he's all alone! He must have some good loot.
Yeah, let's kill him.
Marcus just rolled his eyes and held up his hands in front of him, open-palmed. Avery whispered into his ear again.
Want me to make more copies of you, or befuddle one of their minds?
Marcus smiled.
The first one.
The first one? What does that mean? How ominous.
4 more minotaurs, looking exactly like Marcus, appeared beside him, and they took on the same martial arts stance he did.
Gah! It's a trap!
Marcus moved forward, much like the other illusions did. The armor-clad adventurer started swinging his sword in wide arcs, but Marcus easily danced around them. A moment later, the fat little one extended his rod, and a cone of red fire flew out. It engulfed 2 of the other illusions, and they faded from view. The kilt-wearing weirdo touched the metal-clad one with his mace and said,
"Feel your muscles!"
A moment later, a brief golden flash sparkled around the metal man's body. Bigger muscles? What a stupid spell name. Marcus jumped forward and then delivered a diving, falling kick into the body of the little fat mage, as if he were an overinflated soccer ball. The mage wheezed as he rolled back into the hallway. Avery's voice screamed out overhead.
G-O-A-L, go!
There's another one with us.
Her eyes darted all around. Unless she had some way of seeing through invisibility, she would never catch a glimpse of Avery. Marcus whipped his legs around and then tripped both the metal-clad hobo and the kilt-wearer. When he got to his hooves, the goth elf lunged at him with her sword sailing through the air. Her blade nicked Marcus's chest once, and then Marcus started blocking the blade with his forearm bracers. Marcus took back steps and moved away from the other 2 intruders as they got to their feet. All the while, the goth elf screeched as if it would help her score better hits. The other 2 hobos started trying to tangle with the other illusions, not realizing their true nature. Over and over, the elf swung at Marcus. She managed to cut him a couple more times before Marcus punched her in the face, hard. His solid, ham-like fist crunched into her nose, and a loud snapping noise rocked the air. She stepped back.
Oh no! My modeling career!
Marcus spun around and then sidekicked her in the stomach. She hunched over, fell to her knees, and then passed out. Good. One less murder hobo to play with. A lightning bolt smacked him in the chest, and Marcus fell to the ground. His whole body vibrated with tension, and he slowly got back to his hooves. The little fat halfling mage stood in the doorway of Marcus's chamber, and his face looked haggard.
Looks like we're eating beef tonight, boys!
Another lightning bolt sailed toward Marcus, but Marcus slipped out of the way at the last moment. He moved closer, and the metal-clad hobo stood in his way to block. Marcus simply lowered his head and surged ever faster. His right horn stabbed into the person's chest and then knocked him back to the ground. To his delight, Marcus's horn didn't break or crack, and a large dent had been hammered into the person's chest armor.
Leave my friend alone!
He swung his morning star, and it nearly clipped Marcus's nose. Marcus front-kicked the man in the chest, and he went down. A massive, dusty hoof print covered the crest on the person's shirt. The kilt-wearer wheezed.
Amazing! You bypassed my armor class!
Marcus simply shook his head. Dumbass! He leapt over the man's body and moved toward the little mage again. By this point, the 3 remaining hobos realized Marcus was a singular foe. Missiles made from pure magic flew through the air and collided with Marcus's face. pain radiated within him again, but Marcus still reached down and grabbed the little meat pillow in a hug. The mage screamed out, and Marcus squeezed tighter.
Hey! Why are you attacking me?
Marcus glanced over his shoulder. Sure enough, the eyes of the kilt wearer shimmered with a rainbow pattern.
It's the other monster! Hurry! Get this cow off of me!
Cow?
He raised the mage above his head and then slammed him on the ground hard.
I've got your cow right here.
He repeated the process until a massive bloody streak had been painted on the hard floor. Just a point of clarification, though. Marcus slammed the creature on the outside of his room in the hallway. Bloodstains were kind of annoying to get out of fabric. When he turned around, both the kilt wearer and the metal-clad hobo stood facing him.
You're gonna pay for killing my friends!
Marcus responded by sidekicking him in the mouth. The kilt wearer's underbite became aligned, and the man grinned.
Hey, I can speak normally now. Thank you.
Marcus kicked him again.
Oh man, now I have an overbite! You bastard!
When the armor-clad person swung his sword, Marcus ducked under and grabbed him by the ribs where there weren't any spikes. He picked the man up and then slammed him on top of the other hobo. One of the spikes pierced the kilt wearer's skull, and then he stopped moving.
No!
Marcus jumped up and landed on the armor-clad hobo's head with both hooves. His helmet peeled open and splattered like a smashed can of tomatoes. A sudden silence fell over the room until Avery came into view. Avery stood about 2 feet in height, which was normal for a pixie. They had translucent pink wings, long purple hair that was tied in a long braid, light pink skin, and wore a light purple dress that came to their mid-thigh. Avery's fingernails and toenails had been painted light blue.
Yeah, party wipe! Woohoo! What are you going to do now?
Marcus walked over to the unconscious elf, placed her on his shoulder, and then moved toward the entrance of his room.
I'm going to give her as a gift to Nina. She likes when they're still alive.
Avery placed a hand over their mouth.
Are you sure you two are just friends?
Marcus averted his eyes for a moment.
Of course. You know how she is about her dolls. And if hobos don't make it to her room, then she doesn't get to have any fun.
Uh-huh, sure.
Whatever.
He moved into the hallway and down the corridor opposite of the direction from where the hobos had come from. The hallway was made from brown brick, in the walls, the floors, and the ceilings. Torches were along the walls every 10 feet or so. Whenever Marcus came to a doorway, he stopped and peered inside. Since the room placements changed every day, it was never certain where his colleagues were going to be stationed. Yesterday, Marcus had been placed right beside the boss door, and last week, he had been the first room in the dungeon. Avery fluttered beside him as they walked.
How do you know they hadn't already encountered Nina yet?
Marcus peered over at them.
Because they were still alive. Nina is a bad bitch.
Suddenly, a soft and darkness-invoking voice resonated.
Yes, I am.
Marcus glanced ahead, and sure enough, Nina stood in the doorway of her chamber. They moved up to her. Nina gazed up at Marcus with void-like black irises, and the whites of her eyes were only as stark in comparison as the paleness of her skin. Her black hair fell from her head and ended at her shoulders. She wore an unadorned black dress that fell to the ground. A large slip in the dress allowed for one of her pale-ass legs to strut itself like a headliner for a concert. Nina was barefoot. She had black toenail and fingernail polish, some modest sparkly black eyeshadow, and some purplish black lipstick. A black belt with a skull as its belt buckle clung to her waist. As the story went, the skull was actually her father's. The room behind Nina had been a sight to behold. Then again, Marcus was probably biased. Towards the back corner was a round bed with dark purple sheets and black pillows. A massive circular rug sat in the middle of the floor. Bloodstains and chunks of meat lay in the middle of the rug. Three massive bookcases filled with tomes sat against the far wall, and the other doorway leading into the next hallway. What was so striking were the 8 dolls that leaned up against the left wall. Each doll was unique and spooky as fuck. There was a stitched kind of fox creature made from clumps of different creatures. A person with multiple eyes all over its face and neck, and it was to Marcus's understanding that the eyes were all real. There was an evil clown, a person with 3 mouths on its face rather than anything else, a ghastly face emerging from candle wax, a Mathlic priest, and more. Nina placed her hand on her hip and gestured toward Marcus.
Is that your lunch?
Actually, it's for you.
He set the woman down on the ground and then stepped back. Nina looked down, and then her face brightened.
Oh, is she alive?
Nina clasped her hands together in an excited fashion.
Oh, sweetie, thank you.
The goth elf opened her eyes slowly, looked up at Marcus, and then glanced at Nina. Nina simply placed her hand in front of the goth elf's face and said,
Butchutai de Morch, descend into darkness.
The goth elf froze, with her eyes wide open and her mouth ajar. She tried to shriek, but all that came out was a warbled kind of gasp. Nina grabbed her by the hair and started to drag the elf into her chamber.
Do you two want to watch me work?
No, I should probably get back to my room. I'm closer to the entrance today.
Nina stopped, let go of her gift, and then stepped up to Marcus. She gently kissed his cheek.
Thanks, sweetie. I'm going to have so much fun with this one.
The goth elf started crying and even wailed a little as Nina dragged her to the middle of the rug. Rather than stay, Marcus moved back down the hall. Avery floated beside him, a wide smirk plastered on their face.
You so like her.
Whatever.